So we're going to look at this amazing letter that Paul wrote to the church at Colossae. So let's just ask God's help first, shall we? Lord, we bless you, it's your word. And Lord, it's a word for us. I pray you'll bless it to our hearts and help us and encourage us as we think about the things that you want to say to us through your servant Paul. Lord, even though he's in heaven now, his words still ring true because your Holy Spirit gave them to him. So Lord, Holy Spirit, minister in our hearts and minds that we may understand and work out in our lives the things you want us to know. We ask it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Some of this is fairly basic stuff, I suspect, that you'll know, but we'll go through it as we go along. Paul is the writer. The way they write letters in their day is they tell you who's writing it first. Normally they write to you, don't they, in our letters now, dear Fred, dear soul, but it's who's written it first. Now, Paul, he describes himself as an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God. An apostle is one that God's called to go out and share the message, the truth that Jesus brings, and Paul didn't decide that himself. God chose him, and it was the will of God that Paul, would you have picked Paul if you'd have been around him there his day? I mean, you know, he was trouble, wasn't he? And yet, God chose this guy, and that, brothers and sisters, ought to be our prayer for those who are the persecutors of the church. I just want to show you, in Israel there's a group called Yad Lachim. They call, that means the hand for the brothers is what it means. Yeah, and they are hostile to Messianic Jews. Yeah, and I'm praying that some of them will be just like Paul and they'll get it. Yeah, God chose him. Praise the Lord for that. Yeah. Anyway, if Timothy, his friend, is with him, Timothy is his sort of trainee, I guess. Yeah, and he's our brother. Well, was he their brother?
Yeah.
Well, he wasn't related physically, but you know, we're talking about spiritual things here. He's a brother in the Lord Jesus, yeah, right. And he's writing to the holy and faithful brothers in Christ at Colossae. They're holy in the sense that they're set apart for God. That's what the word holy means. And they're faithful. That word faithful means that they are true to what God has shown them. Yeah, they're sticking with it. They're not just believers. They are, there's faith and there's faithfulness. And that's what it's after as well, yeah. Right. And these are the brothers and sisters at Colossae. And his message is grace and peace to you from God our Father. It's wonderful, isn't it? God, the giver of grace. You know what grace means? God's riches at Christ's expense. That's the way to remember it, yes. And when you've got grace, you can have peace, of course. No peace until you've got grace. But that's how it goes, right? So, next page, we'll try this one. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we've heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all the saints. As I said last time, Paul hadn't heard or hadn't seen these believers. They are people he'd never met. And yet he says there, we always thank God for you. That's great, isn't it? Yeah? He's glad when people come to Jesus. Are you glad?
Yeah.
Right? I hope you are, yes. He's glad that people have come to the Lord Jesus, and he's speaking about God the Father. And we have two persons of the Trinity in this verse already, yeah? And he's praying to the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we pray for you, he prayed all the time. What he really says is, whenever we have some time to pray, you're on my list. It's good, eh? Yeah. Do you have a prayer list? Yeah? I remember dear Ron. You remember our brother Ron and me? Yeah, he says, I got a list. He says, and I can't remember them all. I said, just put it before the Lord. There's the list, Lord. Will you bless him? Oh, smart guy, that one, yeah. Anyway, he thanks them because he's heard of their faith in Jesus. They've come to know Jesus, and he thanks them for all the love that they have for all the saints. And that doesn't mean just the people in Colossae. Like Paul, they've come to love, even though they may not have met, in the sense that they love, they pray for, they want the best for their brothers and sisters, wherever they are around the world at that time, okay? Then he says, this is the faith and love that spring from the hope that is stored up for you in heaven and that you've already heard about in the word of truth, the gospel that has come to you. So this is this, notice how the three go together, faith, hope and love? Yeah, right, so they're all working there, and he says, it's the message they've already heard. Now that's probably what Paul is getting at, is that there is some new teaching around. Stuff that's beginning to hit at Jesus. Yeah, and so he's saying is, don't go for the new stuff, stick with what you've heard. You've already heard this one, stick with it. Yes? When they come with a new and improved Jesus, I promise you, it's neither. Yeah. It's as old as the hills, they've been trying it a long time, and it certainly isn't an improvement. Yeah, so this is the gospel, the word of truth, the gospel, the good news that's come to you. Right? All over the world. Is that true when Paul was speaking? All over the world. Well, it is what they call hyperbole in a sense, but, I mean, all over the Roman world, and that was the world, the civilized world, you could call it, the gospel had reached. I mean, it's amazing how quickly it got out. That was God's timing, just to say, I don't know if you're aware of this, but the gospel came at just the right time. There were several factors that were important to make sure the gospel got out just at the right time around the world. Number one, it was peace. The Roman peace. The Romans had conquered the world, and it was all nice. You could travel anywhere, and you wouldn't get robbed, beaten up, well, most of the time, anyway, yeah? Got the idea. So there was peace. There were the Roman roads. There were routes. All roads led to Rome, but all roads led from Rome all over the place. So you could go wherever you wanted and get there nice and cosy, I suppose, in a way. So the roads were there. One more thing, and it was that everybody could talk to anybody else because they used an international language called Greek. I mean, the Romans were Latin speakers, but, you know, Greek was the international language. So the gospel went out all around the then known world. Yeah, so he says, the gospel's bearing fruit and growing. Of course it is. When people hear about the love of God in Jesus and respond to that, it makes a difference in their lives. And it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and understood or knew God's grace in all its truth. And Paul is using some words. That word understood, translated there, is the actual word to know. But it's not just the word know. And I don't want to get technical, but there were teachings coming around where people were in the know. You got the idea? Yeah, the secret societies, that they had their little passwords and all that stuff that you could join. You got the idea? You needed to know. Well, Paul says, the knowledge I've got is more than knowledge, super knowledge. Yes? But he also says, you knew God's grace. And of course, to know God's grace isn't just to understand, it's to experience it. When the Bible uses the word to know, it doesn't just mean you've been to school and passed a little exam. Yeah? To know means you've got an experience of it. Yeah? Right? I mean, the first time it turns up is in Genesis, where it says Adam knew his wife Eve. Well, there's nobody else to know, is there? I mean, he's got to know her, hasn't he?
Yes,
but that's not what he means. Yeah? If they had a relationship. Yeah, that's what he's saying. And you had a relationship with God's grace in all its truth. That's the idea. All over the world it's working. And you learned it from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant. So he's the brother who was the messenger man. He was the evangelist for them in Colossae. He's the faithful minister of Christ on our behalf. So he's doing what we can't do. And there's a little song, brothers and sisters. There's a work for Jesus that none but you can do. Paul couldn't get there. He can write to them. Epaphras can bring the letter. But in terms of sharing the gospel, it was a job that God had given for Epaphras. Yeah? So whatever it is, God's got a job for you as well. Yeah. So he's a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf, and who also told us of your love in the Spirit. So he's telling them, I'm sure Paul was really interested. What's it like in Colossae? What are they doing? And how's the church going on? So he told them all about that and how they loved God together. They got together in the Spirit. Notice, who generates the love that you've got for the brothers and sisters? The Holy Spirit. You know the little rhyme, but I've got to tell you this one. You've heard it before, yes. To dwell above with saints in love, oh, that will be glory. But to dwell below with the saints I know is quite another story. Yeah. How do you get the love to love them? It's the Holy Spirit at work, of course. And he was at work in these people in Colossae. Praise the Lord. We're going to meet them, you know. It's wonderful, eh? For this reason, because of what's happened, what God's done, for this reason, since the day we heard about you, we've not stopped praying for you. So he's asking God's blessing on them, because as soon as he heard there's a church there, Paul goes, when he hears there's a church, he goes into pastor mode. Yeah? He cares about how they're going to get on, how they're going to stand, how they're going to live for the Lord. Yeah, so he starts praying for them. And what does he pray? He says, I'm asking God to fill you with the super knowledge. Remember what I said? That super knowledge, not this fake stuff that's around, the real thing, yeah? The super knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. So that God will really blow your mind in a good way. Yeah, you'll begin to understand and you begin to experience spiritual wisdom. And this is one of the important things. I'll be sharing something of this on Sunday morning. The important thing is we stop thinking the way the world thinks and we start thinking the way God thinks. That's the amazing thing. Moses prayed, "Oh Lord, teach me to know your will." Yeah? I can see what you do, but I want to know how you do it, why you do it in the sense. Yeah? So we need spiritual wisdom and understanding. And that's what he's praying for these people. And why does he pray that for them? Because there's some con merchants around. They're trying to sell them a different Jesus. And so he said, if you know the real one, you'll be able to discern the fakes when they come along. That's the idea. Right. So God will give you proper spiritual wisdom and understanding. And we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way. We pray that you may live a life. The original language is a reflection of the Hebrew, what Paul is thinking in many times. Yeah? It's that you may walk worthily. Have you heard that phrase? Walk worthily of the Lord, yes? And it's using the word walk there as the idea of how you live. Because it's not a desk job. It's a life job. Yeah, you're living it. It's a walk. Yeah, and I've just put this little bit there at the bottom. Which version of the Bible do you prefer? Well, people have all sorts. Some like the King James. Some like various other translations, whatever. Let me give you this one. I heard. I thought it's brilliant. Yes. Somebody came to a man and they said to him, "Which version of the Bible do you prefer?" And he said, "Oh, I prefer the shoe leather version." The shoe leather version, the chap said. I've never heard of that. He said, "Oh yes, oh, the shoe leather version is when you translate it into action that affects your feet, that's the shoe leather version." Yes? So whatever you read, if it makes a difference to your life, you've got a shoe leather version. Yes? And they're living a life worthy of the Lord. And interesting, now highlighted the word Lord there. When Paul uses the word Lord, who's he talking about?
Jesus.
It's Jesus. And what's he using the word Lord for Jesus for? He's going to come to develop this later on in the chapter. Jesus isn't just a man. He is Lord. And when a Jew uses the word Lord, he means God. You've got the point. So he's really exalting Jesus. And that's the heresy that's going around. They're knocking Jesus off his place. That's what they're trying to, of course. Never will, but that's the aim, yeah? So, that you live a life worthy of the Lord Jesus and may please him in every way. I find that it's a real blessing to know that. Did you know that you could please the Lord? Yeah? A miserable, wretched sinner like you could please the Lord? Yes! Because I'm forgiven. And God's grace comes into our lives and we can please him. And any parent worth their salt delights in their children going on, don't they? And that's what he's saying. God wants to see you growing and loving and serving, yes? You please him. Good. Wonderful. Please the Lord. Wow, what a privilege, yeah? Bearing fruit in every good work. Yes, fruit. You know what the fruit are that he's talking about? It's the fruit of the Spirit, but there's more than that, of course. There's the actions, the deeds, the sorts of things that God wants you to do. All the ordinary things that count in the kingdom of God. Yeah? So you're bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might. I like that. Yes? You might be strengthened with power so that you can go to the gym and lift a 100-pound weight or whatever it is. I don't know, whatever they are. Yeah? Right? But that's just human power. What power do you really need to live for the Lord? You need his glorious power. God's power. And what kind of power is it that God's got to work in you? It's the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. That is serious power, brothers and sisters. And therefore, God enables us to have victory in our lives. I'm not saying we're perfect. We haven't got it all sorted, but there's availability of this wonderful power for God to help us. And you'll be surprised at what God can do when you let Him turn the switch on. Yes, that's the idea. Strengthened with His glorious power, according to His glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, joyfully giving thanks to the Father. There are two words there, that you may have great endurance and patience. Yes? Well, they're two different words, and slight differences, I suppose, is what they're aiming at, is that endurance is with circumstances, you know? Keep going. Yeah? But I've repeated this so many times, but you've probably forgotten it. That's one of the great advantages for a preacher, of people's bad memories. Yeah? But you've heard about the young lad doing the rounds in the school playing field. They were doing a race, and he was running around the track, and he was seen to be talking to himself. And at the end of the race, the teacher came up to him and said, Johnny, what were you doing when you were running? You seemed to be talking. He said, oh no, I was praying. He said, well, what were you praying? He said, Lord, you pick him up and I'll put him down. You pick him up and I'll put him down. Keep going! Keep on that endurance, dear friend. Yes? And patience. So one's to do with circumstances, and the other is patience with people. Because people are funny people, you know. They're really nice things, aren't they? Yeah? Some lovely people. And I want to say, brothers and sisters, Jean and I always say, we've got some great folks. We're blessed, we really are, with you a lot. Really blessed, yes.
We're blessed with you too.
Patience with people, because they don't always think the same way as we do, and they don't always know the same thing. Sometimes they know better than we do, and they've got better ideas, and you need to adjust. It's all working together, isn't it? But you need patience, yes. That's what we want. Okay, so the Lord will give us endurance and patience, and joyfully giving thanks to the Father, who's qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. Thankfulness. It really is important. We need to learn to be thankful. I always think of it as a window. It lets the light in. It really does. A little bit of thankfulness, appreciating what the Lord's done for you, is a good thing. Right. And we've been qualified. What's your qualifications? You've got GCEs and MSCs and PhDs and all them things, you know.
High school,
Right. Or maybe you haven't even got a letter to your name. I've got a yard of letters to my name, you know. I've done a lot of studying, yes. So I'm better than you, aren't I? Not in the least. Not in the least. I'll tell you what, my greatest qualification has always been SS. Saved sinner. Yes. And that counts for us all, doesn't it? Yes. Because all the rest don't count in the end. Yeah, really useful while we're here, but you know. Right, okay. So we're qualified through salvation in Jesus. And we've got an inheritance, right? An inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. Wow, that's it. We've got a future. That's really what he's getting at. Praise the Lord. For he has rescued us from the dominion or authority of darkness. So our God, the Lord Jesus, has rescued us from the dominion of darkness. The word dominion there is authority. It's the rule of darkness. And darkness is the evil world under the control of the devil. That's really what it's about. Yeah. And he's rescued us from authority. And brothers and sisters, you need to learn that he doesn't have any more authority over you. When you become a follower of Jesus, a faithful follower of Jesus, the devil will try to con you to think he can push you around. He can't, yes? You're not in his job, you're not in his team anymore or whatever, yeah? Yeah, there was a great man called, I forgot his name now. Billy Bray. Billy Bray. Cornish tin miner, he was. Yes. And he became an amazing evangelist. Got saved. He came from a really rough background. He got saved. This is in the 1800s, I believe. And one day he was digging his garden. He got some spuds or whatever in whatever it was. Times were hard. And he said, it was the devil came up to him and says, look, you better start working for me again, because ever since you started following Jesus, it's a waste of time. You're not doing anything. You're not getting anywhere. And he turned to the devil. He says, no, I'll stick with Jesus. I prefer his wages to yours. What's that? Is this? The wages of sin is death. The gift of God is eternal life. After we do this, yes? So, rescued from the dominion of authority, brought into the kingdom of his Son, yes? And we're out of darkness. I saw these, it's interesting. Darkness is a time for sleeping, isn't it? Lulls you to sleep. Darkness is skilled at concealing things. Yeah, it hides away things. Darkness afflicts and depresses people, you know. People can imagine all sorts of sad and terrible things when they're dark. See? Yeah. Darkness can fascinate us. I'm sad to say that's true. Mm. Yeah. People get very interested in things that are weird and odd. Yeah. That's sad, yeah. And darkness emboldens some men. The thieves come out at night, don't they?
Mm.
Yeah. So we've been rescued from that. We're out of it. Praise the Lord. Rescued. Hallelujah. And he has brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves. I put the word exported there for that word brought. It's not quite the right word, but it illustrates the idea. In the ancient world, when a kingdom captured another area, do you know what they did to the local people? They shipped them off to somewhere else in their empire. Yes? That's what happened with the Jews in the Assyrian Empire and the Babylonian Empire. What happens is the king turns up and says, oh, you lot, you're over here, sort of thing. Shifting them around, yes? Well, that idea is what's happened here. Jesus comes along as the king, right? And he says, wait, you're not living here anymore, I'm shipping you out into the kingdom of his Son. Hallelujah, eh? So we're under a new authority, and it's the kingdom of the Son that God loves, this Father's Son that we're in, whose kingdom we're under. Yeah, wonderful. So, I've been exported. You've been exported too. Good, eh? Right. And we belong to somewhere else. It's one of those songs by Chris Bulwater, isn't it? I am not my own. I've been bought at a price. So I belong to somebody else. Jesus, of course. Right. And this is my last one. Yes? Hope your heads have managed to cope so far. Yeah? Right. In whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. In Jesus we have redemption. What does the word redemption mean? It means something's been bought back. Yes? Something's been paid to buy something back. That was true of slaves. Slaves were bought and sold, yes? And if you bought a slave and set them free, they've been redeemed. Yes? That's what Jesus has done for us. We were sold as slaves to sin and Satan's authority, and we've been bought back by Jesus and made free. We have the redemption, the forgiveness of sins. How do you feel how did you feel when you first realized God had forgiven your sins? And I mean, do you realize that when Jesus died, which sins did he forgive? All the future ones. Yeah? So all the future ones then counts for all the future ones now as well, you know. Right? So he died for all your sins. How did you feel when you discovered that? Incredible, yes. Right. Do you know what my Jean said that when she discovered that her sins were forgiven, my dear wife? She says, I felt an immense relief. Because it wasn't just the guilt of the sins, but the burden of trying to pay them off.
Yeah.
You know, I have to do this, to do that, do the other, work for it and all. And that's not the way it works, of course. Yeah. Relief. Forgiven. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Well, lastly, my little question here. I got this out of a commentary. I thought it's a silly question, really, but I'll throw it at you. It says, one of the great sticky questions of theology is, to whom was the price paid? When Jesus paid the price, who did he pay it to? Was it to the devil?
No.
Was it to God? That's the sticky question. I've got a better question. And it's, to what was the price paid? I'd like to suggest this. This is my solution. I've not read it anywhere else, but I think it's right. Jesus, it says in Hebrews, Jesus says, by the Spirit, Jesus offered himself to God. So he was the sacrificial lamb offered to God. But the price that was paid was to the justice of God. God's justice had to be met in order to forgive the sinner. And the only way that justice could be met is somebody paid the price for the sins of the person that's being forgiven. That was the whole idea of the Old Testament sacrificial system. God is saying, look, a substitute has to pay the price, and the price is for the justice of God to be maintained. God can't forgive you if he's becoming unjust in the process. That's the important thing. And the wonderful news is that God is able to forgive you and punish the sin at the same time. God's smart. Nobody else could have figured that one out, but he's done it. And so we have in him redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Well, the next section from verse 15 onwards goes to talk about Jesus in all his majesty and glory. We're going to stop there. I think that's the last one on this page anyway. Yeah, there you are. We'll look at that next time. Yes, my brother.
Yeah, did you realise in chapter 1, verse 6, there's some cross-references, and they're all in Genesis.
Oh yes, yeah.
Five of them.
Yeah, yeah, the Bible's full of references.
There was blessings.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, Jesus fulfills, and this is what he's going to deal with, yeah. Jesus fulfills all the promises.
Yeah.
All, in him are all the promises, yes and amen, is one of Paul's verses somewhere, I can't remember where now. But yeah. Yeah, the more you read the verses, you'll see back references all the time.
Yeah.
And this is one of the wonders of the Word of God, is it's so interlinked.
Mm.
And you think about it, it was written over a period of, what, 1,500 years, from Genesis to the last book, possibly John's Gospel was maybe the last writing of the New Testament. All from that was covered a span of about 1,500 years,
mm.
And yet they agree, they interlink, they cross and explain one another.
Yeah.
That shows you somebody is behind it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we know that somebody is the Holy Spirit.
And it's not man.
It's not man, oh no. No, we're not smart enough to do those sort of things. Yeah. Okay, well let's just pray, shall we? And thank the Lord we've got Jesus. Yeah. What more do you need? Yeah. Lord, we want to thank you. In him we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. We thank you we have an inheritance. We thank you, Lord, we can bear fruit. We thank you, Lord, that you love us. And that, Lord, we've got something to share. We praise you, Lord, that the gospel is going out around the world. May we play what part we can. And help us also, Lord, to bear those good fruit, Lord, that we may be the shoe leather version of the Bible, Lord. That people can see in us we've been with Jesus. Lord, bless us and help us, we pray, in Jesus' name.
Amen.